When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
1670 WTDY, Sly in the Morning, it's 8:06.
Nobody knows he should have read more books instead of thumbing his nose. It's a lot like the king, the emperor's new clothes. Oh no, oh no. He reminds me of somebody I've seen before. A scared little boy in the dark on the floor. I don't think he read.
On the live line with us. I love these songs people have recorded about the governor. On the live line with us, John Nichols from the Capital Times. You think the governor's flattered by all these songs that have been written about him?
You know, it's funny if I don't know if he's heard that many of them. My sense is that they probably don't tune the radio into your show every morning.
He used to listen to me.
Used to be on.
Yeah.
Look, he used to come to the Capital Times editorial board, but we just haven't seen him recently. It's a hard call. I got to get you, by the way, Sean Michael Dargan's song on the day Scott Walker is recalled, which is a total rockin', brilliant song that's like suddenly flowers start blooming, you know, kids do better in school. It's just like everything changes on the day Scott Walker is recalled.
Wonderful.
That's really well done.
I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Morgan, will you write that down?
I just want to say, I'm feeling unbelievably better about the economy today.
Why is that?
Well, because the Assembly has voted to lift the restriction on hunters so that now you don't have to shoot a deer with antlers before you shoot one. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
The antlerless, yeah. Your law. Yeah. And I thought, well, you know, man, those jobs are coming now.
Well, you know, for a lot of people in Wisconsin that don't make much money, that work for the state up north, that's probably how they'll feed their families.
It's Christmas dinner.
So, Where are we at here today? I mean, what's between the movement in New York, between what's going on in Wisconsin, what's going on in the presidential race, all these things converging on each other. Where are we?
Well, I think we're actually just about where we'd want to be. I mean, not in the happiest of all worlds, but if you're looking at kind of all the things in play, you know, that Republican debate last night's a good place to begin. They kind of have been trying for a week to play Occupy Wall Street both ways. You know, that Mitt Romney's a 99%er, and you know, a little going soft on it. But they hit Herman Cain with that core question last night, and I don't know if you saw the debate, the crowd.
Yeah, let's play that. Here it is.
Well,
here's
a great moment.
Here's the moment.
Herman Cain, I got to ask you. You said, "quote Don't blame." Two weeks ago, you said, "Don't blame Wall Street. Don't blame the big banks. If you don't have a job and you're not rich, blame yourself." That was 2 weeks ago. The movement has grown. Do you still say that?
Yes, I do still say that, and here's why.
That right there is part of his popularity. He doesn't back down. And
all right, there we go. All right.
But that was like the, you know, it's like kill the poor, let the poor die. If they don't have jobs, it's all their fault. You know, it's like this, I'm trying to think of the right reference point. I don't know in America that we have ever had a populist movement that is against the poor. But these Republican rallies, again and again, have that sort of, you know, like passionate anti-poor, anti-working class, literally screaming their anger at the great mass of Americans who actually either are in hard times or are fearful of hard times.
Well, look, we saw this a couple years ago in the healthcare debate when someone would get up and talk about how their lives were literally crushed because of inadequate health care. People that had jobs, people that had health care, but because the insurance company hadn't covered one thing or another or had made their lives miserable. We saw the same crowd that was just cheering Herman Cain boo them at these town halls. Boo people who had cancer. We've seen them boo gay soldiers. We've seen them cheer the record executions in Texas.
It wasn't this mean with Joe McCarthy. I mean, I'm serious. It wasn't. I'm not kidding. They were softer in like the McCarthy era. And so there's an extremism there. And I think the reason I bring it up as we talk about kind of where we're at is I think they're stepping out further and further toward the edge, toward, you know, a really sort of hateful and cruel politics.
Really? Well, I thought they'd stepped out to the edge when they nominated a man for the U.S. Senate last year who said that it was good to invest in China. Or that free trade deals were creative destruction. I thought that people might notice that.
Yeah, but it's hard to make those clarifications when your president agrees, when the Democratic president agrees with Ron Johnson. You know, I mean, seriously, it's very
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, but Barack Obama never said creative destruction, and he never said it was...
for China free
Yeah,
trade.
I understand that.
So
all right.
Bill Clinton.
But, let's face it. Barack Obama's behind in a whole bunch of states.
He's way behind. I'm looking at those New Hampshire numbers that just came out, 41, 42. No, I mean, so, but what I'll say is that I'm not talking about the presidential race here. I'm talking kind of about where the center of gravity in American politics is. Herman Cain, those guys putting it out there on the extreme. We're now getting to this clarification point where you don't have a choice. You either are sort of there screaming at the poor, blaming people who are jobless for their joblessness, or you're buying into this new, and it is admittedly ill-defined in some ways, but this new movement that says, no, it is not poor people's fault. It's the fault of the banks. It's the fault of corporations that have offshored. It's the fault of politicians who are bought by them. The reason I think that that's the place to begin and look at where we're at is because I actually think this dynamic is changing the referendum vote in Ohio on labor law, which is going to take place November 8th. That is the biggest election of the fall for those of us who care about labor rights, working people's issues. And as it does so, I think it also has an impact on the Wisconsin recall fight, because I think there's something energizing our side, for lack of a better term. And as that happens, I like the play. I like where it's at. Do you know what people all over Wisconsin the last couple of days have been doing? And I'm talking the packed events, recall training. There's like, you know, teachers after school and you know, snowplow drivers going to training to learn how to gather signatures, do all this stuff. There were big meetings yesterday with a lot of union folks kind of getting ready. And I just sense an energy here that is that grows out of all the stuff that's happening nationally.
Well, we'll see.
We started it.
We'll see. You know, I thought there was some energy for Joanne Kloppenburg, and frankly, there was also a lot of energy for the forces that kept David Prosser in office.
Well, I think it's going to be, look, I think that sometime next May, we're going to have a presidential-level turnout. We're going to be the only state in the country that has two presidential-level turnouts in 2012. One in April or May for the gubernatorial recall, and then one later in the year for that secondary election for president.
Sean Nichols from the Capital Times, stand by. 1670. 1670 WTDY, it's 8:19. Sly in the morning. Sean Nichols from the Capital Times on the live line with us. You're going to like this. This is what Dick Morris said about the occupation movement.
You get a leftist movement like this going on that goes way over. It puts the president in a very, very difficult situation. Just think of the flip side. Think if you had a large Klan movement in the United States with the Republican president.
Now, Ed Schultz got all angry about that last night, and he took it as though Dick Morris was insulting the Occupy movement. Well, Dick Morris was, but Dick Morris also stepped in it because he basically...
The Klan comparison.
He made a Klan comparison. He basically let the cat out of the bag that the Republican Party's most radical faction is racist. Right?
Yeah, well, there you go.
And, of course, he's just a cynical... Position. He's just a cynical charlatan.
Dick Morris is. Well, I mean, remember, Dick Morris is a guy who somehow, you know, has found a high comfort level as both Bill Clinton's political advisor, and now, you know, like the Tea Party's political advisor. He's been all over.
He's a mercenary.
He's for hire.
Yeah.
But the thing about this, I will take the, you know, intellectually and emotionally dangerous position that Dick Morris might be sort of right about something here. Not the Klan part. But this is a more radical movement. I don't know if it's leftist, but it's certainly radically populist. It is not going to be satisfied with with the president passing a free trade deal with Colombia and calling that job creation. And so I do think it is dangerous for Obama. It's not dangerous in the way that Morris says or thinks, but it is dangerous in this sense. Barack Obama kind of finessed his way around the Wisconsin fight. He never really engaged. He sort of talked out of both sides of his mouth. Now with this thing being national, it's much harder for him to avoid it. And he's already had to address it at meetings, you know, press conferences, stuff like that. And so at some point, if Occupy and all the related 99% stuff really grows, if it does develop a dynamic, and if it links, as many of the unions are trying to do, if it links these state-based struggles in Wisconsin, in Ohio, in Michigan, in Maine, with this kind of national 99%er thing, Obama's going to have to deal with that. He's going to have to be a presence. And, you know, Obama still has not been to Wisconsin, and you know, in this entire year. He has been to Ohio, but he has not been to Ohio as an advocate in favor of overturning their anti-labor
laws. You know what's disconcerting about all this, and we touched on this a little bit yesterday, John Nichols from the Capital Times with us on 1670 WTDY, is that we have a national media that is so ill-prepared to actually ask any substantive questions about the economy and why it's not performing well. Put ideology aside for just a minute. Couldn't somebody ask a serious, substantive question of why our economy's not doing very well? And, you know, did corporate America kill the golden goose, which is the consumer?
Yeah. Well, and you know, aren't both parties very guilty for this, too?
Oh.
Couldn't you really kind of burrow in? And, you know, it's funny. In 1939, when the war in Europe really went full force, and Great Britain found itself, you know, threatened and ultimately under attack by the Germans. Three journalists in London went back through. They pulled up all the files from, I think it was the Evening Standard newspaper from the 1930s, and they went through and they found everybody in England, all the political leaders who had made appeasing statements, who had even, in some cases, talked about what a good guy Hitler was, what a good guy Mussolini was. They pulled that all together in a weekend, and they wrote this little pamphlet called Guilty Men, where they took all the quotes from all the people that were, you know, kind of sympathetic to the Germans, sympathetic to the fascists, appeasers, and put that book out. And I thought to myself that maybe the most valuable book that somebody could do would be a modern version of Guilty Men on the economy, where you took in this country all the Republicans, all the Democrats who, you know, voted for Glass-Steagall, who voted for these trade deals, who voted to, you know, do these bank bailouts without any strings, who have again and again and again, Congress after Congress, accepted and expanded tax cuts for multinational corporations that move jobs out of the United States.
Yeah, but you're making a dangerous assumption there. You're making an assumption that the reporters that cover the president have a fundamental understanding of what trashed the economy in the first place.
I don't think they do. You know, I agree with you. I'm talking this would be the intervention that would be necessary.
We need an intervention.
We really need it. This is like, I mean, they are addicted to a fantasy. And the weird thing is that the American people are, you know, the American people are shaking off the addiction. They woke up with a headache. They threw the bottle away. They're not going to drink anymore. And what I think a ton of...
You talking about Randy Hopper?
No, Hopper's still drinking. And having a hard time getting somebody to bail him out. But but I actually think what's going on is an awfully lot of folks are waking up to an incredibly scary reality. And it is this. With deindustrialization, with all the shifts that have taken place in this country, those who are unemployed or whose jobs are threatened have very little chance at this point of getting a new job, and their kids and their grandkids have very little chance of getting a new job. We've got the highest level of unemployment right now of men over 55 that we've had, you know, in modern times. We have, you know, the highest level of unemployment of men under 25 that we've had in modern times. So it's the older, the younger, there's a lot of sense that this thing is falling apart in fundamental ways. I think people are waking up to that. They're very scared. They're very, very angry and very concerned. And yet we have a media in this country that continues to be kind of more interested in what's going on in Greece than in what's going on in America. As regards, and I'm talking about economic reporting.
I'll never forget during all the accolades for Tim Russert after he died, they played a clip, and of course he was supposed to be the blue collar reporter, right? The guy that grew up in Buffalo.
He had visited Buffalo.
Yeah, I'll never forget them playing the clip of him talking about his father, and sort of perplexed that his father he bought his father a car after he got, you know, a big raise and got the job at Meet the Press. And he told his father, you can get any car you want. His father wanted a Crown Victoria. And Tim Russert was just shocked and didn't understand why his father would want a car, you know, like an American car.
Yeah, big old.
He's like, I could have bought him a Mercedes. I could have bought him. He fundamentally didn't understand something his father did.
Yeah, no, it's funny. You know, I still drive American cars. And I'll run into people now and again. You know, Mark Pocan, who's running for the for Congress, you know, can't, because he was born and raised in Kenosha, doesn't know how to buy a car that isn't American made.
Yeah, that was Kelda Helen Royce made a big mistake driving out here in a Prius the other day.
Yeah.
That didn't help her cause.
No, I mean, just the bottom line there is some of us grew up in a culture where we just don't, you can't break it. And I think it's one of the best things about America is people who are proud of what their town made, what it still in some cases makes. And, you know, I'm sorry, I want to cling to that. I want to hang on to, you know, what we've made, what we still can make. But that is very antithetical to the people who are our Washington press corps and, frankly, a lot of our political class, because they ditched the town where they grew up. They moved to Washington, and, you know, they live in the suburbs. They drive in their foreign car. They, you know, they're told again and again and again that the future is entirely globalized, that that's the only hope, is that, you know, everything is going to be made someplace else, and then we're going to buy it. But not a one of them has figured out how we're going to afford to pay for it. And the lie they told us over the last decade is take debt, right? You know, run your credit card bills up, you know, take a second mortgage, take a third mortgage. And somehow that was going to work.
I've got a minute and a half left here. I've got a minute and a half left here. The Cheneys are now, you were on Ed's show last night. The Cheneys are now involved with, Liz Cheney and family are involved with the Ohio recall.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's up on the Nation site today. We did Ed's show on it last night, doing a lot of media on it. I've done a big kind of, I don't know if it's an expose or at least an examination of how Liz Cheney, Dick's daughter, has positioned herself now as one of the big fundraisers and big spenders in the national anti-labor push. And so they've gone in big to Ohio. She's funding mailings that have gone repeatedly to every household in Ohio, very deceptive. She's moving a lot, you know, one would assume, corporate money through all these secretive political operations that she's set up. She's got three different committees that shift money from one to the other. But it is very interesting because she's really stepping up there. You can't imagine that her dad isn't, who she's very, very close to, isn't engaged with this as well. And I think you have to presume that they aren't going to stop in Ohio. One suspects that sometime later this fall we'll be getting a visit from the Cheney.
Well, wasn't this deferment child born in Madison, Wisconsin?
A native of Madison.
Deferment child. She was a deferment child.
Well, let's just say that when Dick Cheney found out that you could get a deferment from the draft, could avoid going to Vietnam if you had a child, he went down and registered that he had a child. But the funny thing was, his wife was only a couple months pregnant. I'm not kidding. Dick Cheney registered that he had a child before the child was born in order to get the draft deferment from Vietnam.
Have sex and get out of the Vietnam War. Who knew?
Yep. I think a lot of people were looking for that option.
All right.
They just figured it out.
Brother Nichols, thanks for joining us this morning.
Take care, brother.
All right. 1670 WTDY.